The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 29th through Sunday, October 5th, 2025. The commentary for October was written by Amy Morehouse, an Episcopal priest, spiritual director, mental health advocate, fiber artist, and native East Tennessean. The commentary for Monday, September 29th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Genesis, from the Old Testament, chapter 28, verses 15 and 16. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." It's on this Monday, September 29th, that we commemorate St. Michael and all the angels. Here's the commentary. I firmly believe the Spirit communicates to us the mission God has prepared for us in this world. On one occasion, my diocese decided to invest funds in a building that had previously been a church. With the support of the diocesan bishop, the building was repaired and converted into the headquarters of four different ministries under the name of Alston Abbey. As part of the Abbey's executive committee, my mission was to create a neighborhood ministry. The population of that neighborhood is very diverse. One night, shortly before the building was ready, I dreamed that the temple was filled with people of Asian origin. Then, during the rededication ceremony, I met a leader of Chinese origin, as if an answer to the dream I had. God is always present in us. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Genesis 28, verses 10 through 17. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And the moving forward question for this Monday is, have you had any eye-opening dreams? Are they now reality? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, September 30th, the day on which we commemorate St. Jerome. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. "Ask, and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Our faith in God never doubts the power of prayer. When we pray with praise and humility, a door always opens in response. Recently, I had the opportunity to offer training sessions and mentoring, group facilitation, and workshop creation to 7 Episcopal Latinas who work in community agencies in Loudoun County, Virginia. Now, these leaders are trying to respond to the needs of young mothers who are heads of households. After 8 weeks of intense training, the trainees created a group of mentoring facilitators that they call the Alliance of Women in Action. Since then, their work has been recognized by other agencies which are asking them for help. In response to the prayers by these Latina leaders, the door opened wide. My gratitude is immense because I had the joy of being an instrument of God's infinite love. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how are you responding to the call of your community? Now the commentary for Wednesday, October 1st, the day on which we commemorate Remigius of Reims and Teresa of Lisieux. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1b. We know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs us up, but love builds up. In her autobiography, The Story of a Soul, St. Teresa of Lisieux speaks of her time with her fellow Carmelite sisters. Sometimes she writes, she receives a few too many compliments from the younger sisters. At times, my soul tires of this oversweet food, and I long to hear something other than praise. Then our Lord serves me with a nice little salad, well spiced with plenty of vinegar. Have you ever been on the receiving end of a bit of vinegar? Did it feel like a dose of vegetables that were good for you, or something a bit harder to digest? St. Teresa is well known for writing of love as the essential job of every follower of Jesus. As we seek to follow her example, how are we called to love our neighbor today in ways that build one another up in truth? Will our words build one another up in love, or will they be sour vinegar? And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Now, concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fall. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, would others hear Jesus' love in the words you choose today? The commentary for Thursday, October 2nd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. Nearly a year ago, Hurricane Helene brought torrential floods to the Appalachian Mountains, where my ancestors have lived for centuries. Houses and farms, roads and riverbanks all crumbled under the water that rushed through the valleys. Things that seemed as solid as rocks were overpowered by streams that became mighty waters. The same thing can happen in our own lives in times of loss or grief. All we thought was solid disintegrates under pressure. And yet Jesus Christ is still present with us through all things, even in the painful times that rearrange our whole world. One of the hymns I remember from childhood had the refrain, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is shifting sand." Jesus will always be the solid rock in whom we can trust. We can hear his words and act on them, even when the waters roar around us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew, chapter 7, verses 22 through 29. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many deeds of power in your name?" Then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers." Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, how will Jesus anchor you today, even when the waters rise? The commentary for Friday, October 3rd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. When reading this story of healing, I wonder, what could Peter's wife tell us about what she saw and heard that day? She had to have been worried for her mother, lying ill, possibly even close to death, with Peter away, traveling about with Jesus. It must have been quiet and lonely as she tended to her mother and her household. Then life shifts in an instant. Jesus arrives in their home, sees the woman lying ill, and touches her hand out of compassion and deep love. Their house of worry transforms into one full of life, joy, and hope. Even now, Jesus is working in our lives to restore us to who God would have us be. When we are restored to wholeness, we are so thankful that we want to be of service to others in thanksgiving for the change in us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that hour. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah: "He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." And the moving forward question for this Friday is, how can our gratitude for Jesus' healing love overflow to others today. Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, October 4th, the day on which we commemorate Francis of Assisi. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 26. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. It seems perfectly reasonable for the disciples to be afraid, trapped in a small boat in the middle of a storm. Even the fact that Jesus is with them, napping on a cushion, is not enough to calm their fears. Fear is a natural response. It is with us for a purpose, to help us realize when we are in danger or trouble. When we are afraid, a good question to ask first is, am I in danger? If the answer is no, then it's time to examine what is really causing us to fear and wonder why it's taking up so much space in our lives. Jesus would not have his disciples live fear-filled lives, even in the middle of storms. Our fears can be so loud that they drown out other things: hope, love, community, and purpose. How can we hear Jesus calling us to those things today? And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. Now when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. A scribe then approached and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And the moving forward question for this Saturday: what fears feel big to you today, and how can Jesus help you set those down? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, October 5th, the 17th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you." When I was young, my sister and I would spend 2 weeks with my grandparents. Each Sunday, my grandmother would take us to church, and we would sit beside her in the pew and swing our legs. She was a sturdy, faithful pianist. She played for Sunday school classes and her first grade classes. She sang with joy, but almost never in tune. I can close my eyes even now and remember the sound of her voice singing, the smells of that small-town Methodist church, and the summer rhythm of the hymns that she loved all her life, the ones that I grew to love, too. Is there a person in your life whose music or joy or faith permeates your life? Someone who helped make you the person you are today. If you close your eyes and remember, where can you see their life shining through yours? And now I'm going to read the full passage from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. And the moving forward question for this Sunday is, where are we growing the faith of those coming up after us? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.